From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ, recounting the testimony of Old Testament believers who endured torture and martyrdom for the sake of their faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Confidence Not Misplaced. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. The Lord God will help me. These are in prophecy the words of Messiah in the day of his obedience unto death, when he gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He was confident in divine support and trusted in Jehovah. O my soul, thy sorrows are as the small dust of the balance compared with thy Lord's. Canst thou not believe that the Lord God will help thee? Thy Lord was in a peculiar position, for as the representative of sinful men, their substitute and sacrifice, it was needful that the Father should leave him and cause him to come under desertion of soul. No such necessity is laid upon thee. Thou art not bound to cry, Why hast thou forsaken me? Did thy Savior, even in such a case, still rely upon God, and canst not thou? He died for thee, and thus made it impossible that thou shouldst be left alone. Wherefore, be of good cheer. In this day's labors or trial, say, The Lord God will help me. Go forth boldly, set your face like a flint, and resolve that no faintness or shamefacedness shall come near you. If God helps, who can hinder? If you are sure of omnipotent aid, what can be too heavy for you? Begin the day joyously, and let no shade of doubt come between thee and the eternal sunshine.
God, Lord, and he said that you
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Thank you. The first part of Hebrews chapter 11 lists specific Old Testament characters who demonstrated great faith in God. But beginning in verse 35, there is a transition to unnamed saints, many of whom paid with their lives for their faithfulness to the Lord. According to the passage, these heroes of faith chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. As Dr. Cairns will explain, there are several possible interpretations for that expression as it was understood by those Old Testament martyrs. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue the first of a two-part message entitled, Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ.
The better resurrection sounds very simple. It actually has led to three distinct interpretations, all of which actually have an element of truth in them. When you think of the actual wording here, women received their dead by or from a resurrection. Others refused to have deliverance but were tortured to death because they were looking for a better resurrection. And I think that's a very, very natural way to interpret the verse. They were saying there is a resurrection that's better than the resurrection that Elijah saw happen to the son of the widow. There is a resurrection that's better than the Shunammite son experienced. There is a resurrection that's better than Lazarus experienced or the daughter of Jairus experienced. There is a resurrection that is not merely of the body to this life for a little while. There is a resurrection unto life eternal. These men and women said, we are suffering in the light of that. But then there are others, and with a lot of truth, they say the resurrection is better, not merely than a resurrection for a little while into life again, but it's better than the deliverance that was offered. They were offered deliverance, but they said, no, we will take death, because that death is the gateway to a resurrection that is far better than the compromising, shameful deliverance that you are offering. In other words, these Old Testament sufferers were actually living out the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people, and it's not death that they're facing. It may be a little mockery. It may be a little loss. It may even just be the denial of their own lusts and flesh. But there are people who are ashamed of Christ, and they are choosing rather what this world is now offering. Maybe you're in this meeting this morning in that very condition. Here were people, and they were being offered the world. They were being offered life. They were being offered a deliverance. And they said, we will not have it. We will have our God, though it means death. For we'd rather have God and salvation than life in this world that leads to hell. And perhaps you're here this morning saying the very opposite. We will have the world. We will have the pleasures of the world. We will have the activities of the world. We will have the friendship of the world. And we will not have Christ. It's a tragic, foolish, destructive decision to make. Because there is a third possibility in these words. Many great scholars have believed this is certainly in them. But these people were saying, every man will be raised, the torturer as well as the tortured, the persecutor as well as the sufferer, the sinner as well as the saint will be raised. And they're saying, since we must all be raised, we would rather know God and live for Him and know his salvation and have a better resurrection than the resurrection unto shame and everlasting destruction that Daniel spoke of in chapter 12 and verse 2. Men and women, you and I are in this world but for a moment. We're here today, and like the grass of the field, we're gone tomorrow, and the place that knows us now will soon know us no more forever. Soon you'll be gone without a trace. The bed that you sleep in will be slept in by another. The home that you live for will be occupied by another. The job that you do will be done by another. Your name will sink into the distant recesses of memory until it's finally obliterated. But you will live. You will rise, either in the resurrection of the just or the resurrection of the unjust. Either in the resurrection to life eternal or the resurrection to the lake of fire. But men and women, learn this, there is a better resurrection. When you are tempted and called by the world and the devil to go running down the broad road rejecting Jesus Christ, when you are called to deny the Bible and deny the call of the gospel and go headlong into sin, remember, you are refusing the better resurrection. Oh, that today you would learn that there is nothing in this world to compare with Christ. There's nothing in this world to compare with the assurance of eternal life in Christ. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? All that you would learn today, that it would be better, if need be, to suffer torture on the wheel and go to heaven at the end of it. Not that you merit heaven by your torture, but it would be better to suffer and go to heaven than tramp and dance through the pleasure-mad throng of the world to end up in a lost eternity. Come while the Savior in mercy is pleading. Come while the gospel door is open. Make sure that your choice by faith is the same choice as these people who would not accept what the world called life, but rather took death because they had a grasp of life eternal. Now that's the meaning of the word. Actually, the historical reference here is thought by many, many people to be to something that happened in the period between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. I told my wife this morning, you're going to hear history being made in the Free Presbyterian Church. You're going to hear me read from the Apocrypha. Don't get all worried. Presbyterians, in fact all Protestants, have always believed that though the Apocrypha is not inspired, it is good reading for history. And I believe that. John Owen, the great Puritan divine, came to this passage of Scripture and he said, undoubtedly, the reference is to the events of the 6th and 7th chapters of the second book of Maccabees. In the 6th chapter of that book, from verse 19 to 31, you will find the story of a 90-year-old man, a scribe by the name of Eleazar. During the reign of a wicked man, one of the greatest forerunners of Antichrist in ancient times, a man called Antiochus Epiphanes, during his reign, the Jews were under chastisement from God because of their sin. That's how they judged it. As Antiochus set up all his abominations, he decided he would have a special feast and he would force the Jews to eat swine's flesh. When old Eleazar was given the flesh of the swine, which of course was unclean to a religious Jew, and was had it forced into his mouth, he defiantly spat it forth, and that marked him immediately for death. Those who were in charge of overseeing his death actually were very friendly toward him, and so they came up with a way out. They said, "Eleazar, we know that it's not right for you to eat swine's flesh, but we will allow you to go and prepare flesh that is clean for a Jew. And you take that and eat that flesh, and nobody will know the difference but you and God. Your life will be spared, for we don't want to put you to death." A very tempting offer. You don't have to eat swine's flesh. You don't have to defile your conscience. You can eat the goat or the lamb, or you can eat whatever else is good for a Jew to eat. But just eat it publicly so that we have an excuse and we let you off. This old man, 90 years old, frail and no doubt fearful, he began to consider this, and he said, "Send me to the grave, for it becometh not our age in any wise to dissemble, whereby young persons might think that Eleazar, being 80 years old, were now gone to a strange religion." And he simply argued, "I could eat this flesh. Sure, it's not wrong in itself. But by my dissembling, by my pretense, I am sending a message to young men that I have gone over to a false religion, and to save my life, I have given away the truth of God, and I'm sending that message that that's what they ought to do. I would rather die." Result was that he was the more brutally put to death with stripes, with cudgels. He was one that was tormented to death on the wheel or the tympany. What upheld those people? Now we're talking, and I'm deliberately making reference to this passage between the Testaments, because very often we think of that as a period when faith was at an all-time low. And in many ways, there's a lot of truth in that. But what was upholding these people? If you turn to the very next chapter of the history of the Maccabees, you will find that there is constant reference to the resurrection. A young man in point of death looked at his tormentor. He looked at Antiochus and he said, "Thou like a fury takest us out of this present life, but the King of the world shall raise us up." The hope of a better resurrection. When his hands were cut off, his feet were cut off, and his tongue was cut out of his mouth, the last words that he said, "These I had from heaven, and for his laws I despise them, and from him I hope to receive them again." Another one said, "It's good being put to death by men to look for hope from God to be raised up again by him." That's faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.